Hi everyone, and welcome to the special Meet the Board series featured once a month on Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast. Each week on Wednesdays, Managed Healthcare Executive features C-Suite healthcare professionals whom we speak with about the most important issues in healthcare. In our Meet the Board series, we spotlight a member of MHE's editorial advisory board so our listeners know more about our board members and their roles in healthcare. The Meet the Board series is broadcasted at the end of every month. So be sure when you tune in to listen in and learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this episode on Tuning Into the C-Suite, listeners are tuning into our next feature of the Meet the Board series, where Senior Editor Peter Werwein of MHE and I speak with MHE's board member, Kevin Ronneberg. Kevin is Vice President and Associate Medical Director for Health Initiatives at Health Partners, an integrated nonprofit provider and health insurance company located in Bloomington, Minnesota. During our conversation, we got to learn more about Kevin personally and how he and his family are doing during the pandemic and his thoughts of the current issues healthcare is facing today. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you. Right. See you.
No problem. Thank you for joining Peter and I for this episode of Meet the Board on Tuning to the C-Suite.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's great to meet the two of you as well and excited about the conversation today.
Great. All right. Well, let's get started. So first, I wanted you to tell us a bit about yourself. First, how you got into healthcare, and then maybe if you can give a background of Health Partners and maybe what you do.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in a small community in Minnesota and had the opportunity to know a number of physicians and their role in the community, and not so much what they did at their day jobs. And that had an impact on me and had the opportunity to shadow some of them. And I really saw that medicine was the way that I could be a teacher like my dad was and help people and contribute to people living a better and healthier life. So ultimately that led me into family medicine, and I practiced broad spectrum family medicine, everything from delivering babies to nursing home rounds, working in ER and ICU for several years, honed that into a sports medicine practice, and then ultimately moved over into the administrative side of leadership. So I've had leadership roles in care delivery, health plans, spent 3 years at Target leading retail clinics and pharmacies, and now I'm at Health Partners. And my role at Health Partners, real quickly, is I spend my time working in the market with our commercial group insurance, the large employers, and then also inside the organization with our product development, marketing teams, and medical management teams. And I think you asked about Health Partners. Probably important to let people know who we are. We are based in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We serve as our primary market, North and South Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We are a health plan. We are a care delivery organization. And we are also the largest research institute in the Midwest with the Health Partners Research Institute. And we consider ourselves a health solutions organization, given all those assets that we can bring together.
That's great. Thank you for that. Jump into it, can you tell me if you have a sense of where the pandemic is headed and what you think the response should be?
Well, so first of all, with the pandemic, I would say there's lots of models, and I think we're all looking at these various models. And the only comment that I can really adhere to that I've seen is that at the end of the day, when this is all behind us, we'll look back and decide which model was correct. We don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic. I think that we certainly are going to see an increase in activity as we enter the flu season and the winter months as people are going indoors. Big questions around vaccine and vaccine availability, as well as whether or not it's effective and how effective it is, and then how effective we are at distributing that vaccine. So there's a number of things that I think are still variables that are unknown and that we need to continue to follow. As far as the approach to the mandate, you know, boy, we're really seeing that this is a human behavior discussion, And, you know, unfortunately, we are wrestling with science and we're wrestling with politics. And I would say, having been in clinical practice and trying to translate science into lay terms for individual patients, we're seeing that on a macro level, is the difficulty in understanding science, and sometimes where there's not certainty in science, but it's more directional. Certainly masks are effective. That's been shown to be true. Keeping your distance from others has been shown to be helpful as well. And I think it's going to take a combination of these things. And ultimately, we need to get, we need to figure out how to get people to understand their individual role in slowing this pandemic. Is it a mask mandate? I don't know. I mean, that comes with its own problems on trying to force the issue. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I think having a unified message and understanding of what's effective and what role individuals and groups in the community that have influence play in this is going to be where we have the most effect.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, since we're on the subject of the new normal, with how the pandemic has affected the healthcare sector, do you think we'll see a shift away from in-person care to remote care?
Yeah, as you know, we've seen a huge shift already. Most care delivery organizations acted pretty quickly and stood up remote capabilities for virtual care. A lot of that was telephonic, a fair amount of video, but certainly we saw just a rapid shift. And there were a number of things that helped that from a standpoint of licensure changes, so cross-state care, payment, so making payment to be on par with in-person care to help with care delivery budgets and operating expenses. And I think now that consumers have tried it, we're seeing that consumers, by and large, are saying they want this after the pandemic as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this is going to go away. You know, this is here to stay, and it's really more of a question of what's the operating model, what's the business model, what's the scope where it's the most effective. And then how do we balance those that want a relationship with the same provider, but also may benefit from both a model where it's virtual and in-person? And I'm seeing that, you know, with a couple of young kids, the schools are wrestling with the same thing, is how do you teach online and in-person,
right?
Operate two different models where you can have a relationship with the same person. So I think there's a number of challenges that lie ahead in figuring this out, but it will not go.
Agreed.
This is Peter Werewine. Pleased to meet you, Kevin. So I did read that Health Partners, I believe you are closing some clinics. I think I saw this summer there was an announcement of that you 7 clinics weren't going to reopen. So is that the closing of that clinics a symptom of some sense of going to more virtual care as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I would say that when we switch to virtual care, one of the things that is readily apparent is the resources that you need, particularly bricks and mortar, is very different. We have a number of clinicians in our own care system, as well as the care systems we contract with, that have been able to work from remote settings. And that certainly reduces the footprint that you need to have available. So I would say that this is a shift into what a new model requires for us to deliver that care and to ensure that we can reduce some of our overhead expenses that ultimately could be passed on to employers and consumers. As cost savings, which really is what the promise is of shifting into more virtual care.
So is Health Partners looking at all of your physical plant and maybe are more clinic closings in the offing, or are you looking at your hospitals and how that space might be used differently as a result of the shift to more care delivered remotely?
So good questions, and certainly looking at that footprint is always something that's happening. You know, we've seen shifts over the last decade or so to a lot of care occurring in the outpatient setting. We're fortunate at Health Partners that our square footage of hospitals is lower than a lot of systems. So I think we're in pretty good shape there. We're going to continue to assess the needs that we have. So as we deliver more virtual care, what role do the bricks and mortars clinics play? And I would say right now we are thinking that we'll be at about 30% of care can be delivered virtually. And we're going to have to, over the next, you know, probably 12 to 24 months, depending on how the pandemic plays out, test some of the hypotheses on what it takes to deliver a new model of care. So that there's no plans for closures. There's no plans for shuttering anything at this point. I would say that was our initial response to what we're seeing and what we know about what's to come with virtual care.
Now, in terms of your telehealth model, have you contract with some of the big companies like Teladoc that members can call, or has your model been more to equip your facilities so telehealth happens with an existing provider, somebody's existing provider?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question in that we know there's been vended solutions that have been entering the market. Some people will say that they're the disruptors, and you know, we have, for the last 10 years, we've offered Virtuell, which is an online digital care solution. And it's asynchronous, where you go through algorithms to submit your care needs and you get a treatment plan on the back end. And so we've continued to build out Virtuell, and we offer that to all of our patients as well as our members. I will add that only about 35% of our members get care within our care system. And our care system is open to other health plans. So having said that, it's a both and. Right? So our care system is continuing to stand up virtual capabilities, and how do they provide care remotely, and then link that with our bricks and mortar for lab tests, imaging, other needs. We do contract also with national vendors to provide some of the virtual solutions as well. And in discussions with them, as they're looking at virtual primary care. And so ultimately, I see this as bricks and mortar entering the virtual space, the virtual providers trying to figure out how to connect with the bricks and mortar, because we know it can't just be one or the other. It's going to be a combination of the two.
Which national vendors have you worked with then?
So currently we have a contract with Doctor On Demand as one of the national vendors that we offer alongside Virtuell. And so that provides another opportunity. We have had contracts and contract discussions with others as well, so we're always open to what that looks like. But most of them have been there for the low acuity urgent care needs that people have had. And I would say, in addition to what our care group has done from a mental health perspective, providing virtual care, these vendors also, I think, have done a nice job of standing up mental health services and providing those virtually as well. I will just add that I think mental health is a specialty that is well suited to this new environment, both from a consumer, what we're hearing from consumers, and their comfort level with having these types of meetings from their own couch rather than the couch of a provider. And we're also seeing fewer no-shows, which makes the providers more productive. And on top of that, we are able to spread the capacity of the providers across larger geographic reach. So underserved communities are not underserved as much anymore.
So could you tell us, in terms of what you do at Health Partners, how has your job and what you're doing day to day changed in 2020 as the pandemic has sort of massively affected healthcare? What were you doing in January and February that you're no longer doing, and what's on your plate now?
I'd say one of the biggest changes is I'm at home a lot more, right? There's been less travel for meetings, both locally and nationally. So that's a big piece of it. From a standpoint of like what the work is, It certainly extended my need to get back into some of the clinical and the science as COVID develops and understanding a lot of the nuances. Given that I work with employers, back to business, getting back to work and or keeping a work site where people are essential workers safe has really been a big shift in where I need to gain some expertise and where we as an organization were able to take our care delivery as well as our health plan assets and what we're doing within our research institute where we're involved in some of the COVID research as well and put together offerings to help businesses. We call it back to business, and just as an example, we have occupational medicine consulting on strategic design of a plan. We're able to support people through our drive-through testing centers in our regional market, and on the back end, curate results to communicate to employers. And if needed, we can even provide leave management support through our leave management department. So really trying to create more of a comprehensive solution that also could be a la carte to meet the needs of these employers.
So are you designing plans for employers about how they can safely bring back workers into their office or workspace? Is that, are you getting down to the level of, well, you know, plastic shields here and a mask rule and giving them a roadmap?
So it's less of getting down to the exact placement and has a lot more to do with process and policy. And so helping them think through what are the things that would make sense. But from an implementation standpoint, we are not getting involved in the actual implementation of the plan. But we look to bring science and expertise that's based on national guidelines to the employers so they can make the best decisions that they need.
In terms of the pandemic, again, with the pandemic and protests regarding racial injustice, have those opened your eyes to health disparities in a new way? And how has Health Partners responded to that?
Yeah, it's. I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, with George Floyd's death in Minnesota here, not far, just a few miles from where I'm sitting right now, it, much like the pandemic, it was an amplifier and drew attention to something that I think needs more attention. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I would say I have always tried to have an open mind and address unconscious bias. And this has really hit me pretty directly to let me know that it's not as easy as probably what I have been making it out to be. And so personally, it's really driven a lot of focus on friendships that I have, and I played football in college, and I've made phone calls to some of my friends who have diverse backgrounds, and remembering conversations or settings we were in that I had no idea what they were experiencing. And it's really changed some of those long-term relationships that I have as well for the better, mm-hmm. simply because I've called and I've asked. And I think it's really a question of, you know, what can we each do individually? As an organization, I'm really proud that Health Partners over the last several years has been raising conversations about race within our leadership group and within our employee population and having open dialogue about unconscious bias. In fact, one of the things that we've done now in part continuing that work, but I think also accelerated with what's been happening nationally, developing a cabinet at the senior executive level with representation of diverse leaders across our organization that is focused on equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. And a real clear focus that it is more than avoiding people who are racist, but actually moving towards recognizing where racism occurs and taking intentional action to reduce that racism. So we have some lofty goals over the next few years and measurements that we'll be taking. So more to come on that. But I feel really proud to be part of an organization that has raised this to the senior executive level and spread it through the organization.
That's wonderful. And like you said, you know, the goals that you guys have, that's where it starts, you know, setting those goals and just taking action. But I know we have covered a lot about Health Partners But is there anything else that you'd like to share currently that's going on with the organization?
This is the softball question, isn't it?
Right? I feel like we've touched so much on health partners that...
Yeah, you know, our work continues in a lot of areas, and we are focused on simplifying healthcare, making it more affordable. A lot of our focus is really mission-driven, and as a nonprofit organization, it all comes back to triple aim and affordability, better experience, and ensuring that we have high quality outcomes of care. One of the things that we're spending a lot of time in at Health Partners in developing is more work in the area of community and social determinants of health. And that ties back to the previous conversation around equity. And so there's just a lot of resources put into that space. One of the areas is around mother and infant health. And that's work that we're doing in combination with our care delivery system and health plan, as well as our research institute. So we see opportunities to make an impact in that space specifically.
Great, thank you. Now this is gonna change us up a little bit more to personally, how you're doing again. But can you share how the pandemic has affected your personal habits? If you're exercising more or less, I know you said you're spending more time at home. But yeah, how has it affected you?
So I'll go back to the travel. My wife and I together, she is has diamond status with Delta, and I have platinum status with Delta, which lets you know how frequently we're traveling. And a fair amount of that has been with our kids. But what this has done is really forced us to kind of reinvent our family life at home. And early in the pandemic, we were sitting around the table, and we realized that with our 10 and 8-year-old, that this was the first time that we had spent a full week, every evening meal together around the table. And so there's a lot of positives that are coming out of this. We're spending a lot more time understanding our kids and their needs and understanding through their eyes what this pandemic means to them and their social needs. So I'd say that's a big part of it personally. I would say that I look a little bit like the pandemic curve on my exercise habits.
You're not alone.
It's been up and down. And I think that it's been a challenge for me personally to just get on a routine. I think I'm there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have experienced that, but how important it is to wake up in the morning and get ready for work and follow a schedule. Not as easy as what you thought.
Oh, no, definitely not. It's so easy to fall out of habit.
Is there, Kevin, is there anything that you've been reading that you want to share with the listeners? Something that, be it short, long, a book or an article that has sort of stuck with you in the last little while?
You know, what I've been reading a little bit more lately is I've tried to limit how much I'm reading what's going on in the news and with the election and trying to limit that. My wife and I have had the chance to see Hamilton several times, and that's renewed my interest in what took place in the founding of this country. So reading a lot of books to understand what's gone on with the formation of our country, and how much that translates to a lot of the struggles we're having today in the political climate. So a reminder that this is a democratic experiment is what I'm getting out of it, and that it's in flux constantly. So that's been really insightful for me, and kind of takes me to a different place when I can sit down and read.
Great. I mean, interesting that you called an experiment, as in we still don't know quite what the outcome is going to be.
Well, at the end of the day, 200 years is just a snap of a finger in the timeline, right? So.
Well, excellent. Well, I'm in Philadelphia, so if you ever want to come and take a look at where the Constitution was drafted, look me up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. That's always fun to visit Philadelphia and see the bell. And
yep, the whole thing. Well, thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you. It's been great spending a little bit of time with you.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.